Seven Stages takes its audience into the heart of Baghdad in its upcoming production. Set in 2003, Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo follows Marines, their translators, and indeed a tiger as they navigate the war-torn streets of Baghdad. Seven Stages artistic director Michael Haverty is with us in studio, along with actors Joe Sykes and Mariam Khalid. Welcome.
Hi, Lois.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, it's so good to have you here. First, tell us about the perspectives in the play. The tiger is actually one of the primary voices of the story.
That's correct. The tiger is played by actor Kevin Stillwell. It's noted in the script that he is not to be played in any way feline, but he is definitely the biggest character on stage. He is the largest force of nature that wanders the streets of Baghdad searching for the meaning of life.
And listeners may remember reading, or perhaps even had the privilege of seeing, Robin Williams in his last Broadway role as the tiger.
That's right. It was a lauded performance by Mr. Williams, and really sad that we didn't get to see any more work on stage.
I know. But he did nothing stripes, nothing costumed related, just a scraggly beard and, you know, the force.
But it's a really brilliant choice by the playwright Rajiv Joseph to place this wry character full of dark humor into this very dark situation, because it leavens the play. And so we're not just caught up in all the tragedies that happened along with the Iraq War. We're following someone who has a sense of humor as he witnesses the absurdities of war all around him.
Joe, you play a Marine who loses his hand to the tiger, and then he has a very peculiar mission. Would you tell us a bit about Joe and what he has faced in the Iraq War?
Well, Tom, my character Tom, he loses his hand. It gets bitten off. And what is it like to act with one hand? That was sort of fun to explore. Every 2 hours in rehearsal, we have a 10-minute break, and that's when you go and do your business. You might go to the restroom, check your phone, talk to your friends. When I would go to the restroom, I would keep my prosthetic hand on. And it took a few times, but I figured out how to do everything I needed to do.
Is this going to be too much information?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
It's not too graphic, but I figure out everything I need to do with one hand, which is sort of enlightening as how I'm going to play the rest of the character. I'm a person who's missing a part of himself, and I'm trying to preserve the rest of myself. And so it's a big deal to try to do everything single-handedly.
Literally and figuratively. Mariam, what research did you do for your character to understand what it was like being an Iraqi during the war?
Well, Michael had sent us a lot of articles and books to read, and I sort of dove into the articles, and the more I read, the more I started to get a very broad idea of the war and what was going on, and then I stopped. Because for my character, Hadia, she's from a small town. She's a young girl who's brought into the city and immediately after is killed. So I wanted to narrow my view of what this war was. The war was inside my home. The war was within my family. The war was what we experience here, in a sense, when we're listening to the radio and hearing about the news so far away. So at a certain point, I started shifting away from literal research, you know, news and articles, to more of a character study and accent research and going back to the roots of the language and things like that.
Yes, I understand you engaged a vocal coach, or more than one, for dialect here.
We did. We found a lovely woman, Tala, who lives in Colombia, and we had Skype interviews with her with all the different characters. There's extensive Arabic spoken in the play, and we mm-hmm. heard from many of the local Middle Eastern population in Atlanta how different that Iraqi dialect was. So we wanted to make sure that we got that right.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely. Because I used to live in Dubai as a kid, so I used to speak Emirati Arabic. And I was a little cocky going in. I was like, I got this. And then I started reading the Arabic, actually paying attention to all the enunciation and the way the khas and the ghas are. And holy moly, I had to start from scratch.
Very different. Yeah. I know someone who studied Spanish in Barcelona mm-hmm. and then later spent time in Madrid and eventually got a job in Mexico thinking, hey, I'm fluent. And the Mexicans laughed very hard when they heard her
All
speech.
Three of those locations are very different.
So different. And, you know, I have to commend you for this, Michael, because I know Seven Stages did not want to take this on until you could be authentic in terms of achieving the proper dialect and having actors of Middle Eastern background.
That was really important. We knew, especially right now, that there was no way we were going to whitewash any of these characters. Rajiv Joseph wrote this play with these Iraqi characters, and it's so important that their voices and their faces be heard and seen on stage. That was one of the main reasons for choosing this play, is that it shows the Iraq War from this totally different perspective. And so we wanted that perspective to be as unique as Rajiv wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And I think what Miriam said about history is really, really correct, that we did a lot of research. We had Marines come in and teach us how to hold our weapons properly, how to conduct home searches. We did the dialect work. But the playwright didn't just write a purely historical play. It's leavened with this magical realism. And it's the fact that it's all derived from history that makes it really hard to forget.
We'll be back in just a moment. I'm speaking with Seven Stages artistic director Michael Haverty and actors Joe Sykes and Mariam Khalid about their production of Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo, which opens this week. A moment ago, Michael, you were talking about how important it was to be true to history. This history is only 14 years old, but with all of the bloodshed and violence since, it seems far longer ago than that.
So true. And looking back on these events, as someone who really came of age during September 11th, it's been very interesting to revisit these events and then trace history as it comes to the day today through the Arab Spring, through all the conflict that we see today. And there are American footprints in the region from long, long ago. And that's one of the points that this play makes, is that when we go to different places, when we are in places outside of our home, we need to watch and listen and try to understand the way that different cultures operate, or we're going to make horrible mistakes.
Yes, horrible mistakes have been made. You mentioned as a child coming of age during the 9/11 attacks. Of course, the invasion of Iraq was absurd in that had nothing to do with Iraq. And that was part of what confounded the mess that
I think the trauma of that comes across in this story as well. You see the interpreter, Musa, he has a couple of names with Musa, sort of struggle with having to work for the people, the only people who are giving him this job as an interpreter, but also, you know, stepping back and not knowing who he is in the world anymore. Because if you are a country that has started something, then you expect it back. But you can feel the underlying trauma of, I don't know why I'm here, I don't know why this is happening. And one of my favorite lines of the play is he keeps repeating how tired he is. I'm so tired. And that I think it's a very interesting line for the region in general. Mm-hmm. It's tired. It's exhausted of struggling.
Yes.
And the amount of ghosts that haunt him as well. There are all these ghosts.
Let's talk about that. There are characters, there are living characters and ghosts. What does that allow for in terms of conversation?
Well, it's really spectacular on stage. We get to have a lot of fun with the magical realism in terms of how we stage the ghost moments. Many characters begin as live and then end up dying throughout the course of the play, but they come back. One of my favorite lines in the play is from Uday Hussein, Saddam's son, who is a character in the play and whose gold gun sets off so many conflicts in all the different characters. But he says, Americans always thinking that when something dies, it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing goes away in this play. Everything stays, and the questions that the characters are asking of themselves, whether they're searching for redemption or whether they're looting for gold, they continue in death and take on an even greater resonance and reverberance in the world. It's a fantastic theatrical device that helps to explode this history, again, into something a little more magical and existential.
And talk a bit more, if you would, about the voice of the tiger, because you mentioned there is levity in the play, that helps us digest the tragedy that's surrounding it or the absurdity. It's not easy with parables.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you direct the tiger, Michael?
Well, the playwright gave us a lot of tools to work with. The opening scene, we have the tiger pacing back and forth inside his cage in the Baghdad Zoo, and he's so angry and he's jealous of the lions because their cage got blown up and they all got to run out into the streets of Baghdad and have some fun. There are teenage rhesus monkeys that he's really angry. He's angry at all the other animals. But he's also really searching for meaning in his life and meaning in his death. He tells us that tigers are all atheists, every one of them unabashed, and that when he realizes he's not gone, he thought everything would just end when he died. He thought his life was, in effect, meaningless. Suddenly he starts searching for meaning and talking to the other ghosts and trying to figure out what is going on, and it really upsets him from this place of atheism. He starts trying to communicate with God, and we follow the tiger over this journey of self-discovery. But it's done in this just really wry, dark, sarcastic tone of voice that I find really hilarious, and the actor Kevin Stillwell really just makes it sail and just carries us through.
We talked about whitewashing. It's very common in Hollywood, and we've seen cases in theater as well, but I think Hollywood really takes the prize for that. I'm thinking back on sort of Anthony Quinn as your all-purpose Mediterranean, you know.
Yeah. And Rich Charlton Heston is a Mexican.
Oh my
touch
God.
Of evil.
I know.
I thought growing up Anthony Quinn was Middle Eastern. Like, that was the first movie.
He is your all-purpose, shall we say, in terms of Hollywood lingo, ethnic.
Yeah.
And this is really interesting. We had a lot of Middle Eastern performers come in for auditions and perform monologues in Latino accents because that was the major work that they got in mm-hmm. commercials and television. So diving into the auditions was fascinating, just talking to different people about the situation.
We had an Israeli filmmaker in several months back, and he said he gave up acting because he was only being cast as a terrorist.
Mm.
He was very olive complected, mm-hmm. and he said, I'm tired of being a terrorist.
Absolutely.
I'd rather be on the other side of the camera. But
that's so lovely in this play, too, is the variety of Arab characters, from homeowners who are having their house searched by the Marines, to a young girl walking the streets of Baghdad, to this major character, Musa, who's working with the Americans as an interpreter, which is a fascinating experience.
We've heard some horror stories from colleagues at NPR about what translators have risked working with them, and I think it's an important service provided by way of the playwright to see how key these people are.
Absolutely.
In what happens literally with those boots on the ground.
And so, now we're keeping them out of the country. These, specifically these Iraqi interpreters, the numbers that are coming in, people we promised we would keep them safe, we're not keeping them safe. And that's more of a tragedy than anything, I think.
I didn't know Seven Stages was determined to cast actors of Middle Eastern descent before launching the production, as we said. How do you think local theaters, and I know that, Miriam, you are certainly active in your own theater company. How do you think local theaters can play a role in this larger national conversation?
I think seeing people and their potential, we were discussing this as a cast a few days ago, that it's not difficult to have a script and see who's right for the part. But what's difficult is when you are stuck in a way of thinking for so long that you don't even consider casting outside of the one color. That's going to take time to shift. And the way we start to shift that is with shows like this and with Michael taking on this beautiful journey with us, because you have to show them this is how you do it right. And yes, there aren't too many Middle Eastern or Persian or Southeast Asian actors in the city, but you keep trying. You keep seeking them out because they're seeking you out. Mm-hmm. That was very soulful.
Well, no, it avoids Anthony Quinn being Greek, Italian,
right.
Tevye, you know, whatever.
Because you are sending a message when you do that. When you cast a white person as a person of color, you're sending a message that's okay, and that this white person can do it just as easy as anybody else. And that's a dangerous message. It's going to silo off people from experiencing real, honest stories from diverse voices.
And to give you perspective, I can count on one hand the amount of times I've seen somebody who looks like me on stage, whether it's in Atlanta or in New York or in LA. Like, it's not a thing that we see very often. So I'm excited to start this new chapter, this new cultural shift, if you will.
Well, congratulations to Seven Stages for taking this important step. And Joe Sykes, Miriam Khalid, Michael Haverty, thank you so much for joining us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Lois.
I've been speaking with the Seven Stages artistic director, Michael Haverty, who is also directing Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo. Actors Miriam Khalid and Joe Sykes are part of the production, which opens with previews this Thursday, that's tomorrow, and the show runs through October 8th.